Our scripture reading this morning is Numbers chapter 30. You'll find it on page 175 in your pew Bibles. Now, this is a part of what we call the civil law of Israel. The actual stipulations pertain not so much generally, but to the particulars of how they were organized as a people, although the principles that are found in passages like this are universal for God's rule and for the people of God. Now, the issue here primarily has to do with vows. If you make a vow, you have to keep it. The Lord's going to hold you to it, even if it was a thoughtless vow. Now, provision is found here that if a woman who's a daughter underage in the home or is the wife of a husband, if she makes a vow, then the husband may annul the vow within 24 hours, essentially. You'll see it verses 3 to 6. If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge, and her father hears of her vow, basically he has 24 hours from the time that he hears of the vow, not from the time she made it, from the time that he hears about it, in which he can annul the vows. And that's true for both fathers and daughters and husbands and wives. Now, what's going on here? Well, this is not arguing against the fundamental equality of women. The Bible believes that women are equal in value, both intrinsically and also in terms of their usefulness to the kingdom. But God has placed us into covenantal relationships. And God has placed women under the covenant authority of fathers for young ladies in the home and for wives with their husbands. And so the principle of the covenant headship of men, husbands over wives, fathers over children, daughters here, is what's acting in this passage. Now, it doesn't mean that women are totally incompetent. That's not what it's saying. In verse 9, if a woman's a widow or a divorced woman, then she makes a vow. She's got to live with it. But what's happening here is the covenantal order by which women are placed under the spiritual authority of their husbands and fathers. Now, one thing this means, ladies, is be careful who you marry. Because I always, doing premarital counseling, I often say you are now in a pre-vow scenario. You are going to be in a post-vow scenario, and my counsel to you is going to change. If particularly when you come and you're troubled by it, God places women into relationships of covenantal headship. Now, I think the reason this rankles so much today is not merely because of egalitarian views about gender, but because of the rank individualism in our society. Just in general, we place the rights of individuals over everything else, and it's just true that the Bible does not. The Bible cares about the family and the community and the church and society. And yes, when we enter into these relationships, we give up liberties. And a wife gives up liberties, and so does a husband. We have responsibilities to the family and to the home. And in this case, that involves the husband having the authority to annul a vow. Now, by the way, the vows, as we read it, are primarily vows by which she's sacrificially consecrating herself. And so you can easily see an Israelite woman desiring to honor the Lord, and she's going to consecrate herself for some burden or sacrifice. Well, the idea is that the husband needs to, part of it's protecting her. You're not able to keep that vow, and therefore the Lord won't hold her to it. So the woman is under the covenant headship of the man, and individualism is sacrificed for the family and the whole. Now, how do I read this as a man? Well, when I'm reading Numbers 30, I'm a father, I'm a husband. What I read is, boy, I really need to grow in a godliness, don't I? If God has placed precious women under my spiritual authority, then I need to become a godly man. What a great need we have in our society and the church today for men of God who know the Word of God, who can exercise authority in a biblical way, and who remember that women are not only placed under the covenant authority of men, they're placed under the covenant nurture of men, to cherish them, to love them. What is it? We'll get to this in Ephesians 5. Who is the model, men? As precious women are placed under your care, it's the Lord Jesus. He gave himself up for her. He died on the cross for his bride. He put her first. And notice the nurture in Ephesians 5. We'll study it in greater detail. But he washes her with water, like with the word. His speech, his conduct is uplifting to her. This is the calling to which we have. Women, we are told in Old Testament Israel, could have their vows annulled by their husbands and fathers. But there is no one to annul the vow of a man. And if you're a married man, it's very likely that you vowed before God that you would love and cherish your wife, that you would both protect and provide for her. And men, God is going to hold you to account for that. Well, let's have these things in mind as we read give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Numbers chapter 30. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, "This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow and of her pledge by which she has bound herself, and says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of hers, no pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. And the Lord will forgive her because her father opposed her. If she marries a husband while under her vows, or any thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her pledges by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if, on the day that her husband comes to hear of it, he opposes her, then he makes void her vow that was on her, and the thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. But any vow of a widow or of a divorced woman, anything by which she has bound herself, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by a pledge with an oath, and her husband heard of it and said nothing to her and did not oppose her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband makes them null and void on the day that he hears them, then whatever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning her pledge of herself shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. Any vow and any binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish or her husband may make void. But if her husband says nothing to her day by day, then he establishes all her vows or all her pledges that are upon her. He has established them because he said nothing to her on the day that he heard of them. But if he makes them null and void after he has heard of them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes that the Lord commanded Moses about a man and his wife and about a father and his daughter while she is in her youth within her father's house. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.